Happy Thanksgiving.
Anna, wait until we're invited.
Oh, for God's sake, Kella, get the hell in here.
What?
He actually sings in the shower. It's a whole
I do not.
Yes, you do.
Mommy, can I take Joy to our house?
And wear a hat, please. You're just getting over a cold.
Joy, you wear a hat, too.
Man, Hugh Jackman played a better Wolverine in this movie than he did in any of those Wolverine movies.
Man, this sucks. You know what sucks about this? Because we're going to look like complete... Well, you already are an asshole, but I'm going to look like an asshole making jokes about this movie.
Yeah, I know, because this definitely isn't something to be making fun of, so...
No, this shit ain't funny.
But thank God for Jake Gyllenhaal to come in here and bring a smile to it. That way I can be like, oh, good, I don't feel so bad no more.
Yeah, I mean, the few minimal laughs that you get in this are from him because he at least plays his character so straight. It's like, really, dude? Like, come on now.
It's like, I don't give a fuck about your kids. Fuck your problems, man. Don't tell me your problems.
This is about my career.
Exactly. When I'm trying to get out of this hick-ass town y'all living in or whatever.
I'm going to the city if I find these girls. So you shut up and let me do my job.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about Prisoners here. The film that's been trying to be made for about several years now.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took them so long to make this film. I mean, the plot and story is really simple, so I don't know. Well, actually, I do know why. Actors and directors kept dropping out, so.
Yeah, this has been on the barn burner at Warner Brothers for a while now, actually. And finally.
Mark Wahlberg dropped out of this for Contraband? Come on now.
Good. Good. That's all I gotta say. Good. Because that could have changed the film drastically.
Oh, now with Kristen Bell working side by side with him, Kristen Bell would have told him, hey, boy, you do your job right or whatever. I'm trying to get an Oscar around here. I ain't trying to be that fucking cape-wearing crusader no more.
Yeah. So.
But the plot is, around Thanksgiving time, you know, Hugh Jackman and his lovely white family, his little precious angels.
Yeah, exactly. It sets it up perfectly as, like, the idealistic white family. And look... Just so everyone doesn't get pissed, they have a friend that's a black family. Yay!
He's the blue collar worker, and when they go to the black family, he look because you know you can tell by the houses or whatever. You go to Terrence Howard's house, he's like, oh, apparently this Negro dealing drugs or something because his house is all nice and shit.
Yeah, this Negro did good for himself.
And
that's Iron Man 1 money.
Yeah, you know what? That's because he kept wearing them goddamn sweaters and putting them glasses on and crying. Man, don't be like that, man. You white, man. Don't do this.
Look, we all know if the police come, they're arresting me over you.
Exactly. Come on, man. Don't do this, man. I put my Iron Man suit on and everything for you. But so pretty much, the kids want to go out and play, obviously. They're looking for a whistle here or whatever. So they say go find them. Obviously, they're supposed to tell the...
Essentially, they're looking for a rape whistle.
Yeah, exactly. And, it pretty much
stranger danger with Paul Dano, which great casting.
Yeah, because he looks like a goddamn creep that if you saw in the background. You know who he looks like? You've seen Batman Beyond, right?
Yeah.
You remember that kid that controlled that robot with his mind that got telekinesis with it?
I forget his name, but that's a good one.
I forgot that kid's name too, whatever. But there is a scene in folks, if you've seen Batman Beyond, there's an episode where he controls this robot because bulls keep pushing on him and shit like that, so he takes revenge on him. There's a scene of this kid, like, with his eyes down, and all you see is a silhouette of him, but all you see is his glasses. Every time Paul Dano was in the dark, I was just like, oh shit.
Yeah. You see, that's how you were. But every time I saw Paul Dano, at first, I was like, oh, he's kind of creepy until they make the revelation that he's borderline retarded.
Hey, they don't like to be called retarded. They like to call us stupid.
I don't know what else to call it.
That motherfucker. Okay, wait a minute. There's a scene where he strangled a dog. Now, did that really happen or what?
Let's make a couple clarifications before we go on any farther, people.
No, answer that question. Did he really do that?
I don't. That's a plot hole that wasn't really clear, but let's just move on from that.
I was kind of scared of that. I was like, that dog.
So, Paul Dano. Essentially what happens is the kids go missing, and Hugh Jackman goes Wolverine mode and is like, we gotta find these daughters, I don't care who's gonna do it.
That was the best acting I've ever seen Hugh Jackman ever do.
Enter Detective Loki, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who's like, look, calm down, sir, I get it. I'm gonna find
the
these
thing,
kids.
The Hugh Jackman needed, because Hugh Jackman's character was so over dramatic throughout the whole film that I think he needed a character like Jake Gyllenhaal to come in and tone him down just a little bit, as far as like, hey man, look, be realistic about this. It's the same way too, whatever.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's like, look man, I got a good record. I got clean record. No losses for me.
He's like, go home and take care of your wife, man. Let us handle this. There's nothing you can do out of here. All you're doing is causing your wife to overdose on trucking drugs and shit.
Yeah, so you're going to go home and you're going to take care of that fun, lovely time. I'm going to go to this RV and get this guy. Oh, crap. He has the mentality of a 10-year-old. We got nothing. Sorry, dude. I'll try another lead.
That dude was smoking weed in that RV, okay?
Now, here's the thing.
When they pulled him over, when they first found the RV or whatever, all you saw was a smoke cloud. I was like, hey, he was smoking in this fucking...
Right. So, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's like, let's go find another league. Meanwhile, at home, Hugh Jackman, his wife, as we said, is just overdosing on everything that she can find. And to make matters worse...
He has a black friend on his
plan. No. No, she does the one thing that, as a wife in this situation, you should not do, especially when Hugh Jackman is your husband. You
yeah,
do not
told
say...
Him. She told him, you were supposed to protect our family.
You promised us. You promised you protect our family. And in my mind, seeing other Hugh Jackman movies, that's where the switch goes off my head going, uh-oh.
I switched to my mind was, you bitch. Because he looked like he was going to calm down. He was just like, honey, let's just take these pants or whatever. And she's just like, okay, this is your fault. You probably, and then he stood up and was like, what did you just say?
That's when the switch of my head's like, uh-oh.
You promised to protect our family. You said you wouldn't let anything happen to us.
Right.
Like,
now, people.
And the son came in, and then he grabbed the son by the throat. He's like, you listen here.
I'm going to fix this shit. It's like, I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You lost your daughters. You just want to have sex.
His son is the most realistic one in the film, whatever. He's that typical teenager. He's just like, look what you did, man. He's just like, and his dad's just like, you just stay here and watch your mother, man. And I thought he's going to pull
you caused this. And he's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, I thought he was going to pull a Macho Man Randy Savage on. Listen here, brother.
Listen here, brother. You're going to watch over your mother while I go snap into a Slim Jim and go get this pedophile.
Drop the elbow on this pedophile here. Yeah, brother. You just stay here. Watch your mother and snap into the Slim Jim.
Exactly. So, ergo, Hugh Jackman finds Paul Dano walking his nice, sweet little dog on the side of the road. And Hugh Jackman goes, hey, buddy, I got a gun. You're coming with me.
I thought he was going to put claws on him, whatever. But, I think with the whole dog scene, whatever, added more to the mystery of it.
It did.
Which I kind of, which was funny because I was like, oh, that poor dog. But then again, I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of laughing a little bit or whatever. I was like, oh, he's just fucking with the dog. That's just how people play, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he killed the dog, honestly. I think
he didn't kill it. It was still alive.
He was just playing around with it. But
remember, he strangled it, then he just let it, and they just walked away. The dog was still alive. I think the dog ran away, though, because, you know, you never saw the dog again, and they were like, oh, I don't know where the dog went or whatever.
And the dog was just like, I'm free! I'm free!
Free from the fucking nuts. I'm gonna run to the next city in Atlanta, Georgia, or some shit like that. He's like, oh god.
He ran like the dogs in Super 8.
Then he realized he saw those Negroes in Atlanta. He said, oh fuck. Should have ran.
Run, run, I'm free! Run back!
Yeah, exactly. I think I'd rather go blip back with that crazy white lady or whatever. But the thing is, obviously, this is a performance film. None of the other characters in this film matters except for two people. Two people to me.
Well, until the last 30 minutes, but I agree.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, the family of Hugh Jackman, they just there to cry and look mopey or whatever, which they should be doing anyway. So you don't need to worry about them. The family, as far as Terrence Howard is, that brother's useless in the film, but, you know, every time he's just on screen, he just...
Well, he's used more as the moral conundrum of the film, where how far would you go to save your kids? He's kind of the realistic one when this situation pops up, because Jackman, he kidnaps Paul Dano and pretty much tortures him and asks Terrence Howard for help. And Terrence Howard at first is like, man, are you out of your fucking mind? I don't know what else to do.
He don't say it like that, though. He's like, man, why are you doing this, man? And then he's like, listen here, you don't shut the fuck up. Man, I'm War Machine. And he's like, oh, yeah, you were a War Machine. Oh, man.
I'm Wolverine, bitch. And, who's got the claws to shank your ass?
And you say he's realistic, but he'll never tell Hugh Jackman shit like that or whatever. He just looks at him and just like, you shouldn't be doing this. He never steps up as far as telling Hugh Jackman.
I agree.
So his character is useless in the whole sense of the point. He's just there to look like, oh, this is wrong, whatever. But you don't need that because obviously as a human being, you should be able to tell what Hugh Jackman is like. You could decipher whether or not it's right or wrong. So,
plus, given the ending, they kind of answer that question for you with Jackman's character once the revelation happens.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, they name all these people like Viola Davis, Terrence Howard, but you know, they're not there.
They're star power.
Yeah, your focus is on Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and then you got the scenes with Paul Dano in it.
Yeah. I think another thing that should be mentioned is this is a slow burn film, which I know a lot of people aren't a fan of. So fair warning, this movie is 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But
that kinda bothered me a little bit.
But
I think they could have took out.
That was the thing. I was trying to think. I really couldn't think of anything they took out because it has a steady pace to it.
They could have took out Terrence Howard completely or whatever.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. But, I mean, the stuff with Gyllenhaal and Jackman are all perfect.
Oh, yeah. The stuff with Jackman. There were things in the scene where I was just like, okay, well, where did that go? Because every time they found the mystery or whatever, it went to a different mystery or whatever. And I was like, what was the point of the last one? Then it all comes together, the last one. But the one, the thing about the puzzles and shit that they kept drawing or whatever, I was like, well, that really isn't really useful in this situation. I mean,
seems like a marketing campaign is like imagery marketing, but
yeah, there was a lot of that in here. But yeah, at the same time, I was like, that whole puzzle thing altogether really didn't make full circles as far as like, because like the thing is, it comes full circle of Jake Gyllenhaal seeing it on the mother's husband that went away, neck or whatever. I'm like, well, he was gonna go to that house anyway, so I mean, you know, he didn't have to see that to realize something was going on, because this bitch
right.
was in the room drugging a bitch.
Right. Before we get to the end of the film, there's one more other scene that I do want to talk about in terms of everything. How did you think of what did you think of that interrogation scene with Gyllenhaal? With
Gyllenhaal and Dano?
No, not Dano. The one suspect named Bob.
Priest?
What?
With the priest or
Suspect named Bob. I forget if he was the priest. No, he wasn't the priest because the priest turned himself in. I'm talking about the guy who shot himself.
The priest didn't turn himself in. He got caught. Remember?
But he didn't put up a fight.
About the dude that shot himself at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. That's the one I was talking about. The one with the guy who shot himself. Because that was kind of one of those moments where, as his slow burns going along, that's kind of one of those moments that kind of wakes you up.
Yeah, it was one of those. I wouldn't even call it an interrogation scene. It was more like what's his name watching him, and then he's like, you know, I'm getting sick of these fucking puzzles. He went in there and slammed his head at the table. It's like, where is he?
Yeah, exactly. It's like one of those things where like you've seen Jake Gyllenhaal keep his cool the whole time, and then this dude, he just says, fuck it.
That's why I thought Jake Gyllenhaal's character was the best one in this film, because the beginning of the film, like, you see, like, character transitions between them, whatever, because, like, Hugh Jackman's playing the same character throughout the whole film, but Jake Gyllenhaal's playing this calm demeanor, cool character, and then halfway through the film, people are now blaming him, this is your fault now, whatever, and he slowly goes, just starts losing his shit, like, why the fuck I haven't solved this shit yet by now, whatever, I can't find this girl, and Hugh Jackman's putting the blame, like, instead of following me, you could have found this bastard right here. I'm just like, damn, everybody's pointing a finger in this movie. Jesus.
Yeah, so, now it's time to talk. Yeah, now it's time to talk about the end.
Oh, look, before that, I want to talk about that pre-scene. I thought that pre-scene, if you want to talk about that, it's bad. I thought that pre-scene was the most intense scene in it, when he goes down in this little basement thing or whatever and shit, and he finds that body. That was when I put my hand on my mouth and was going like, oh, yeah, the mystery's getting deep now in here or whatever. I was like, I like that. You know, I like that. But then, you know, then once that mystery scene went away, then, you know, we moved to the next one or whatever.
Yeah, but it moves along nicely. That's the thing. And then we get to the ending where everything kind of comes full circle, actually really well done.
I don't think it was really well done. There was a couple of things in there, like, of course, the necklace thing with the whole maze thing. I was just like, ah, okay. They didn't need that in here, whatever. That could have trimmed something off, because my eyes was falling off halfway through the film. And then Jake Gyllenhaal would come back on screen, and I was awake again. Because that was the only time something really happened with Jake Gyllenhaal. The whole torturing of Paul Dano thing, I think that went on a little too long, and I didn't need to see all of it. I kind of got it, you know. I
it's one of those things where it relates to where Hugh Jackman's character goes, but you're right. You don't really need it for that whole time.
Yeah, you could use it in two scenes, but they kept going back and forth on it, and I was just like, all right, I get it. Especially when Paul Dano isn't really, you can't understand a word he's saying, but you want to hear what he's saying, because, you know, he's a great actor. But at the same time, it was a take off, but it was still good. The ending, Jake Gyllenhaal, my man. Did he get shot in the shot in the head, by the way?
What?
Jake Gyllenhaal, this must have been the sequel to End of Watch, because he's playing a cop again.
Or he's realizing that that's his best role.
He should have got Michael Pena as his partner then, or whatever. Then Michael Pena could have got murdered, and then, you know, that could have been just like a
Yeah, there you go.
But, no, the ending, like you said, comes around full circles. Jake Gyllenhaal, we find out that Paul Dano's, was his aunt, right?
Or mother. Grandmother? Mother.
It was his mother? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. No, his parents ran away, remember?
I thought that was the twist, was that his mom was still alive.
Oh, was that the twist? Oh, okay, because I could sworn it said his parents was killed in a car accident when he was 6, and that was his aunt or whatever.
Huh.
But, yeah, whatever. okay, well, so I have to go back and watch that.
I could be wrong. Oh, no, you're right, it was his aunt.
Okay, so, because there was a twist in there of, like, because there was, like, with the guy that shot himself, there was a twist of some boy running away, right?
Yeah, and it ended up being Paul Dano.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. That it kind of got dropped, like, once it got to the ending or whatever. Even though that was kind of at the ending, they just kind of brought it up and, like, dropped it at that or whatever. But we find out that his aunt was the one that kidnapped the girls or whatever. Because Terrence Howard's little girl got away.
Yeah, she gets away, and they get her to the hospital. So as soon as she gets away, Terrence Howard and Viola Davis, who's the mom, they both look at Hugh Jackman like, all right, we're done.
I'm like, man, Hugh Jackman, he comes in there, he's just like, he's shaking the little girl. Where is she? Where is she?
It's like, how did you get away?
I was like, man, calm down, man. Just you need to take a chill pill, man. Slap it to a Slim Jim again or something, man.
Yeah, it was like this thing where, like, it was one level above. Wait, how did you get away? Well, I said, but you're black, you're not supposed to get away.
You're not supposed to be the first one to get away. But you know, when the mother, Hugh Jackman's wife got next to her or whatever, it sounded like she was gonna say something like that when she was whispering to her. She's just like, all right, Joey, you need to tell me something. How did you get away first now?
How did you not let the white girl live?
My girl's a precious little angel. Now you wake the fuck up and you tell me if she lived or not.
Yeah, exactly. It is one of those things where, like, that's just how you feel watching this, where you feel like one of the, like, something else is going to pop in to make you feel terrible, and then it doesn't. But that's just the mood that this film gives off.
Well, especially because of the look on Viola Davis and Terrence Howard's face as they're looking at Hugh Jackman and his wife. It looked like they didn't even know each other the way that they were talking to their daughter or whatever. And I was, like, looking at Terrence Howard and Viola Davis's face. I was just like, are they going to snap on them now or whatever for questioning a little girl who just recently just got found right now or whatever? So, but the look they were giving them was just like, man, I'm going to pull an Iron Man suit out on your ass. You're going to back off my daughter, man.
Yeah. But... anywho, back to the ending. So we find out that it's the aunt that does it, and Jake Gyllenhaal goes back to the house.
Because he's supposed to tell the wife. The commissioner of the police force wants Jake Gyllenhaal to go tell the aunt that they found
Paul Dano.
Paul Dano, or whatever, because they found Hugh Jackman's little captured lair.
They found the rundown apartment. They found the rundown apartment that was used as a Saw, like, secondary set.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder what he looked like after he was done, because they showed a picture of Paul Dano after getting beat or whatever, and I was like, God damn, dude! Jesus Christ! So I can only imagine him getting burned for, I guess, 4 days. I know they was in there for 6 to 7 days or something like this. I don't know how long he's getting burned for or whatever, but shit, man, his skin had to have been fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you look at it, it's like, wow, it looks like Wolverine got to your ass.
Yeah, exactly. He should feel honored.
He should feel honored that he lived.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there were scenes where, like, you know, Hugh Jackman was walking around in a hoodie and shit like that. I was just like, straight out of a Wolverine film, whatever. I was like, that's even better, too.
Feels like a better Wolverine movie than the one we got this summer. Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Or even that scene where when it opens up, when he shoots that deer or whatever, I was like, kind of like what they did to that bear in Wolverine or whatever. I was like,
what a correlations that I'm seeing here.
Hugh Jackman, you might want to get yourself some new directors and better ones on these films or whatever. Because
you
I
might
want to
go do another musical.
No, what'd you think of the ending, though? I like the Jake Gyllenhaal. But, you know, honestly, I thought Jake Gyllenhaal's going to have a car accident or something like that. The way the blood was going through his head and everything.
Yeah, I did like it a lot. I like how, you know, they do give you closure. They save the little girl. And I like what they do with Jackman's character. Kind of the whole conundrum of what he did was right or wrong. Because what happens at the end is he ends up getting thrown into this pit handcuffed that Holly, the aunt, has been using to keep her victims in. So,
because he goes there first before Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, because he kind of figures it out.
And then next thing you know, he figures it out. She shoots his ass in the leg and then throws him down in this pit and puts the car over there. The car that keeps getting brought up in the whole movie, which kind of gave me like a little hint or whatever. It was like, okay, I think I might see where this is going or whatever. They keep trying to throw me off, whatever. But Jake Gyllenhaal gets there, shoots her ass, goes saves the girl, take her to the hospital. That car scene was pretty amazing. That was well done.
I agree. So the ending of the film has Detective Loki and his whole crew now looking for the father. And it's this nice little twist that they didn't have to do, but they did, where Loki thinks he hears the whistle.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't know if they find Jackman or not.
And you know, another thing they probably was, while they had that forensics team there searching or whatever, but they was probably looking for those other missing children too, whatever. Because they brought up like a couple of girls were missing and shit like that.
It was like 8 to 10 or something like that.
Yeah, and they never found the bodies of them. They just kept finding like clues about them and stuff.
Yeah, so now that they got a lead, they're looking for a shitload of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal hears the whistle, and then black screen prisoners.
Yeah, it's a nice little touch to end the film. because I like
those endings.
I do, too. It's one of those things where it leaves the audience with a question. And in terms of this case, it leaves it with a bigger question, because Jackman represents, you know, was this right or was this wrong?
Jake Gyllenhaal left his ass down, and he just looked, and he was like, oh, you're down here. Carry on.
Oh, it's you. Boys, there's nothing over here. What?
Yeah. Hey, you know, he's like, give me your hand. Give me the whistle first, though.
I found a whistle. We got everything.
Yeah, we got everything we need to wear. I don't think there's anybody there. Let's go somewhere. He's like, I'm going to go fuck your wife now. Honestly, I thought that was going to happen, honestly. When his wife kept coming back into the room, when Jake and all was reading about in the newspaper, like a still missing Hugh Jackman and shit like that, whatever, and she kept coming back at her, I was just like, they're going to have a little something now, whatever.
They could.
Yeah, but I gave it a see it. Enjoyed it.
I agree.
A little long or whatever. Could have cut some short out, whatever. But whenever Jake Gyllenhaal gets back on screen, which is back and forth, whatever, it always wakes you back up or whatever, because he's doing something. His character is developing, getting different in the film, so it's real good.
I completely agree. I think it's a see it. I think it's a little too long. But after all the shit that we saw this summer, this is a nice step up in terms of a nice adult drama, something that we haven't gotten in a while. So, yeah, it's nice to have that refreshingness after a summer of sequels and all these adaptations bombing left and right, and studios going, what the fuck happened?
Hugh Jackman is what happened. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, so this movie was only made for $40 million, and if this makes more money than a lot of those summer bombs did, yay!
Yeah, which goes to question is when you get an actor like Hugh Jackman who will work for $40 million, why would they put him in a superhero film that costs more than that? I wouldn't know that, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, later, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
What in the world did you do?
Someone has to make him talk, or they're gonna die.
We're not gonna help Keller, but we won't stop him either. Let him do what he needs to.
I know you know where they are.